Hello and welcome to another episode of the Love to Learn English podcast. Today I speak once again with my friend Catherine. We are going to discuss the second and third conditionals in English, and we'll be using them in conversation, asking each other questions and answering them, so you can see how these two conditionals sound in real life conversations. Catherine does have some problems with her microphone during this episode, so please be patient and we'll try and fix the audio in future podcasts. Hey Catherine, how are you?
Hi Richard, yeah, it's going good, thank you.
Welcome back, thanks so much for doing this again.
No problem.
All right, so we're going to kick off with a few conditionals today. We're going to start with the second conditional, which is used for imaginary situations in the present or future. So the way we're going to do this is I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions and then you're going to ask me a few questions, just so students can hear how these are used in practice. You can hear two very famous examples of this tense in songs that are very popular at the moment. One of them is by Taylor Swift.
Richard's chosen his two favorite artists.
My two favorite artists at the moment. So we've got Taylor Swift with If I Were a Man and If I Were a Boy by Beyonce. So in both these songs, they imagine different realities and how that would be. So my first question to you then, Catherine, is if you were a man, how would your life be different?
This is a surprisingly hard question. If I was a man, things would... If I was a man, I'm trying to answer... This is a surprisingly hard question. If I were a man, I would spend all day in front of the TV playing video games, drinking beer. I would definitely pee standing up, or is that a rumor?
Well, I think you just, before we started recording, you actually said that's what you did yesterday. So I don't know how.
That is not what I did. So if I were a man, I would basically not do a lot at all. I think it would be very different to how it is now.
Very different. Okay. If you could meet anyone, dead or alive, who would you choose to meet?
If I could meet anyone, dead or alive, I would choose to meet my ancestors.
Why?
I forgot what I was going to say. If I could meet anyone, dead or alive, I would definitely choose to meet my ancestors, because I think it would be really cool to see where your family tree comes from and meet people whose actions essentially resulted in you being here, right?
How far back would you go?
Would you not want to go all the way back? Think how many questions you would have answered.
When you say like all the way, you'd go back like thousands of years?
Yeah, but if you could trace it, like,
yeah,
it would definitely be cool to go back a few generations, but philosophically I would want to go all the way back
to the origin of the Newcomb clan.
Yeah.
wherever
where
that
did
began.
I
think that is interesting. I know a little bit about my family history, at least for like the last couple of generations, but
yeah,
it's very hard once you get past like 5-6 generations, it's hard to find records and things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess that is a result of record keeping and documentation.
Yeah, well, with my girlfriend, because she's from the northeast of Brazil, that's a place where they don't keep records. So she doesn't really know, like she couldn't go two generations back. She'd be struggling.
Crazy.
Because they don't have the documentation. So the problem for her would be even harder, I think. At least in the UK, we've got hundreds of years of record keeping to go through to find out, you know, quite a bit, professions. And
I think that would be really cool. I think it would be so interesting to find out.
All right. So next question. If you didn't need sleep, how would you spend your nights? And you cannot say peeing, standing up, playing video games.
It depends. Am I a man and I don't need sleep?
No, you just don't need sleep in this situation.
If I didn't need sleep, I would spend my night probably doing what I don't have time to do in the day. I would train the dogs more. I would learn to cook better. You would have so much time to get everything done. Like, I always want to research and learn more. And that's one thing that I never have time to do, is really find a topic that I like and learn loads about it. That is what I would spend every night doing.
Yeah, you'd have so much more time. I remember reading that Leonardo da Vinci had some weird sleep pattern. So he slept... I kind of want to Google this or I'll get it wrong because I'll just miss
information. Well, I did read once that they think that in a number of Shakespeare plays, he refers to a second sleep. Have you heard this before?
No.
So it's assumed that people would sleep. Like, I don't know the facts, but I would assume that they would sleep from like 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. and then they would wake for a number of hours. And then they would have a second sleep from like 5 a.m. until 10 a.m. And this is a thing that he refers to in a number of his plays, but it's not massively well documented.
It's strange. I think people probably experimented with different patterns a lot in the past because, I mean, if you're a farmer or something, you're going to have some weird sleep patterns.
I suppose they had a lot less restrictions than what we have now. I mean, if you work a 9-to-5 job, you're not going to be able to have two sleeps and be up in early hours of the morning, right?
Unless you're Spanish and you have a siesta. I do. I quite often have a siesta.
I don't nap. I never nap.
Never? I go... Normally in the day, I try and do like a 10-minute meditation thing, which often becomes a nap because I don't like meditating sitting. I like to lay down.
If I were a man, I would be sleeping in the middle of the day.
Sleeping in the middle of the day. I don't understand why more people don't do it. Cause if I feel, I don't do it every day. Just if I'm tired and I need to sleep, I'll sleep for 15 minutes, not for very long, but just like a bit.
Oh, see, I can't do it. My mind doesn't shut off that easily.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you all questions.
Hang on one second. So I found the Da Vinci. No. I just found his sleep schedule. So he followed a sleep schedule called the Uberman sleep schedule, which means that you take a 20-minute nap every 4 hours.
But imagine if your 4 hours is up and you're in the middle of a conversation or...
Yeah. It takes months to get used to this.
Yeah, I can imagine as well. Mm. And so he never had a full sleep?
Well, when in his early life. But if you do the maths on how much more time you're awake, if you follow this schedule, it's significant. Which is why some people try to do it, but it takes a very long time to adjust to it. And you have to be in a, you know, quite a particular position in society, right? If you work in a shop, you can't say, "Ah, I have to have a nap. It's been 4 hours." Doesn't work like that.
See you guys later.
Yeah. So, there are significant advantages in terms of time that you get back because we spend a lot of our time sleeping.
Yeah, true.
In life,
half your time almost.
Yeah, something like that. It's like it's a lot. So I don't fancy this though. I'm not that keen to extend my life unnecessarily.
This would work well for you with your international students because then you would be available all through our night time.
Yes.
Still no.
You haven't convinced me. I'm going to say no to that. Right. Do you want to give me throw a question to me?
Yeah, I've got some good questions for you. The first one is, if you could stay one age forever, what age would it be?
So I think I would choose maybe 10.
Really?
Yeah, because 10 is... Because you're still a kid, but you're a big enough kid to do some adult things.
That's still really young.
It's still really young, but it... I don't know. You're making me doubt this now. I had 10 in my head. No, actually, I don't know. 10 was good for me. I would like to be 10.
You peaked at 10.
I peaked very early.
10 was the highlight, and it was all downhill after that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to, I certainly wouldn't pick a teenager. I like the age where...
I was going to say my age now, 27.
Yeah.
Because I'm young enough that I can do everything that I want to do, but I'm also relatively wise and I have learned from my experiences. So I think now is a good time.
I just want to highlight the modifier you used here. Relatively.
This is advanced English now.
No, I'm just highlighting that you're not quite confident in this.
Oh, okay. Well, because next relatively year I might feel wise. Even, I don't know. Also, this is a hard question because you don't know what it feels like to be older than we are now.
Yeah. I like now. I would pick like 25.
No, you picked 7. You can't go back.
10. I picked 10.
Oh, you're 10.
Okay, 10. But 10 was good. I would be okay with 10.
You are Beyonce. If I were a boy.
I were a boy, yes. If I were a boy, oh, what a life it would be. Okay.
Okay, separate question. You're not 10. You're the age you are now. But if you were invisible for a day, what would you do?
So I had a little think about this. I think I would really like to go to the Guinness factory in Ireland. So for people who don't know, Guinness is like a dark beer. But I watched...
There's a big factory in Dublin.
It's a big factory in Dublin, yeah. I've never been to Ireland. And I was watching... do you know Conan O'Brien? He's like an American comedian. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the Guinness factory. It looks like a lot of fun, actually. But I would love to
it's
go...
It's good, I've been.
Have you been there?
Yeah, it's good. I don't drink Guinness, but it's a very good day out. But also, Richard, you don't need to be invisible to go there.
No, but I haven't finished my thing. I would like to I would like to jump in and like swim around. I'd like to get in the factory, not like in the building, like in the machine.
You want to jump into a giant tub of Guinness?
Yeah. Basically, I want people to drink cans of Guinness with little bits of me that have washed up.
Really evil.
No, I think that would be my thing.
I was going to say I would go shopping. I would try and get as much free stuff as I could get away with.
Yeah, but the clothes are not invisible. So people would be like, why is there a scarf just walking out the shop?
By the time I put on all the clothes that I'd stolen, I wouldn't be invisible anymore.
Yeah. That actually, have you read, what's the book? H.G. Wells' Invisible Man?
I haven't read the book. No.
I haven't read it. He dresses up in that. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Do you have one more question for me?
Yeah. I've got one last question for you, which is, if you changed your name, what name would you choose?
I should have thought about this one. What name would I choose?
It wasn't so funny when you were trying to ask me these
questions. Yes. What name would I choose? Oh, this is hard. I don't know. Maybe Dennis. When I was a kid, I liked Dennis the Menace. It was like a cartoon character. Maybe I would choose Dennis. I quite like that name. It makes you sound like a cartoon. I know, it doesn't fit.
I thought you might pick like a Brazilian name.
Brazilian. Well, I kind of have that experience of having a different name because people can't say my name in Brazil. So I get called Hishaji. And then if like the diminutive versions, Hishajinho.
was a hate sound?
Yeah, so like in Brazil, if you listen to a Brazilian who's speaking in English and they can't speak English very well, they cannot pronounce the R's. So they actually say Rio de Janeiro. It's not Rio de Janeiro. It's Rio de Janeiro.
Or Richard would be there's an R in Brazil.
Brazil? Yeah, there is. Brazil. Yeah. No, they're slightly different R's, I think.
More like a rolled R, it sounds like.
Yeah, Brazil. Well, they don't roll in, they roll in Spanish, but not in Portuguese. The R's. Yeah. All right, so let's transition now to the third conditional. So just to quickly remind you guys, the third conditional is used to express hypothetical situations in the past. By hypothetical, it's like imaginary. So again, this is you're trying to imagine what the past would be like if it were different. Just to finish off the second conditional, though, I want to point out something very quickly. So the structure we were using then was if I were. So for example, if I were a boy, I would... What does Beyonce say? I don't know.
I can't even remember.
I don't know what the lyric is. If I were a boy, I would play PlayStation, for example. But you can actually invert this order as well. So this is a much more advanced thing to do, but you could actually say, were I a boy, I would play video games. So you could, instead of saying, if I were a boy, I would play video games, you could also say, were I a boy, I would play video games. So you can actually invert this as well, although that's a much more advanced thing to do. So with that said, let's go now to the third conditional. And we're going to just start this by talking about the fact that you don't always have to use the same modal verbs. So you can use would have, could have, or should have even. But in conversation, these words are often shortened to sound like woulda, coulda, shoulda in the way that they are spoken. This even is sometimes said as a bit of a phrase. So people will say woulda, shoulda, coulda, or shoulda, coulda, woulda. Which is the order? It starts with should, right? Should have, could have, would have.
Should have, should have, could have, would have, yeah. Should
yeah.
Have. Yeah, you've written it wrong here. You've written,
I've written
should,
it,
could,
yeah,
have, would
I put them in the
this
wrong
is
order.
Wrong.
But basically, this expression people will use rather sarcastically when people talk about their regrets. Like, oh, if I had gone to university, I would have been an astronaut. And they say, yeah, well, should have, could have, would have, or should have, could have, would have. As if to dismiss the point, just to say, well, you didn't, so there you go. get over it. Yes, exactly. So I'll start with one question for you. Now, I think you studied psychology, right?
Yeah.
University. Yes. Mm-hmm. So what university and what subjects would you have chosen if you could have done absolutely anything? So assuming that maybe that wasn't your first choice or first passion, and if you could have done something else, what would you have done?
If I could have gone to any other university, it would have to be one of the like Ivy Leagues, right? Like a Harvard or Yale in America. And I always think this now, I would have studied like journalism. I love like investigative journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that so interesting. I would have loved to have done that.
So what type of people would you like to investigate?
I don't know. I listen to a lot of like real good podcasts about all sorts of things, like real world issues and things, you know?
Mm.
I would want to try and find stories that no one else had covered.
All right. Well, maybe we can make that a special for the next one. We'll investigate something.
Yeah.
Let's see how
we'll
that goes.
We'll do like a love to learn English crime special.
Love to learn English investigates.
We'll solve a murder.
We'll get to the bottom of this coronavirus.
This is the crossover you never knew you needed.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes. All right. One more question then. What would have been different about your life if you had grown up in another country?
Gosh, this is so tough because I haven't been to every other country, but if I would have grown up in another country, I guess school may have been different. My job certainly would be different. And also one thing that we always go on about in the UK is the weather. If I could have grown up in a sunny country, I would have had a wonderful tan. I would have spent so much time outdoors.
You'd have like...
It would be really different.
I think weather makes a big difference as well. Like,
yeah.
Brazilians are a very open people. And I think the weather has a big part in that, you know, just being outside and being around people all the time. Obviously not right now, but just, yeah, it's such a difference. I was impressed when I went to Barcelona last year as well, for example. I went in October. There were just people outside everywhere, just enjoying the sun, just walking. And it's such a different lifestyle, I think, when you have, like in the UK, I feel that life is built for the indoors. Like people have really nice houses.
It's not as social. Yeah.
No.
It's not as social.
All right. So it's your turn to ask the hard questions.
You just mentioned what was going on now. My first question for you is what would you have done differently this year if you had known coronavirus was going to happen?
So I went to Carnival in Rio in February. And now, apparently the first case in Brazil was traced to January now. So I probably would have not gone to Carnival because there's just hundreds of thousands of people next to each other wearing hardly any clothes. And that's like coronaviruses. It's like a party for coronavirus, right? And in terms of how it would spread.
Like, it's so strange how quickly our mindsets have changed, because I always would have wanted to go to Carnival.
Yeah.
But that seems like a really risky thing to do now.
It does.
This is a new concept, isn't it?
It was amazing, by the way. So I went to San Bodrum, which is the stadium where they have all the floats. I thought it was going to be very wild and very crazy because it has that reputation, but it was pretty much just families. It was a very peaceful environment.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
There were not people drinking huge amounts of alcohol. You know, people would have like one or two beers, but it was not.
Yeah.
The San Bodrum display is not wild, but if you go to the actual carnival, to the street parties, those things are crazy. Like if you go to Copacabana, don't take a phone. I got robbed within 5 minutes of my phone.
Yeah. Wow.
You have to be careful with those because those are the ones that are a bit crazy. But as long as you don't go and don't take valuables and stuff, you'll be fine, I would think. So probably that is what I would have done differently if I had known coronavirus was going to happen.
Okay, I've got one more for you off the cuff.
Ooh,
hang on. We're going to have to explain.
Yeah, I know that you want to go to bed, so.
I don't really, like, does everyone use this many idioms, or is it just me?
Yeah, they do. So, I don't really understand the meaning of this, but, so off the cuff means to improvise something, but a cuff is like the thing that covers your wrist in a suit. So if you're wearing a suit shirt, the part that covers your wrist is the cuff. So, but off the cuff means to improvise something. I'm not sure what the connection is there between like a cuff as in the wrist area of an item of clothing.
I'm going to ask you this question, and while you answer, I'm going to Google where the idiom off the cuff
came
from.
Good. Investigate. Okay. That's your chance.
Your question. This is what I've always wanted. Okay, what would your life have been like if you would not teach in English?
I was thinking about this earlier today, actually, so I didn't know you were going to ask this question. Very, very different. I never intended to learn languages or to be a language teacher. It was something that happened through a circumstance. I needed to learn a language because of a particular situation that happened. I probably would be doing, my life probably would have been very different if I had not started working with languages. I probably would have spent my life until now in gas, I think. I think I would still be there working.
The family business.
The family business. Yeah, probably living in Newport, living here. Maybe living in Cardiff. I don't know. I think I would have had a much more ordinary life. Not that that's better or worse, but I think that's what I would be doing. Yeah.
You just used your shoulda, woulda, couldas as well.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Yeah.
Okay, off the cuff is an American English colloquial saying, and it actually comes from around the 1930s, where an actor or speaker reading from notes jotted on their shirt sleeves rather than their learned lines.
Ah, okay, so they're actually looking at the shirt, they're looking at the cuff.
So they're going off script, which is like what you said, they're improvising. And that's where it comes from, the cuff, because they're looking down at their wrist to see where they've written it. And so then it says, so today, it's fairly common for students to write notes on their wrists or hands, you know, for exams or something like that.
If you're cheating, yeah.
Yeah, if you're cheating. So that is,
yeah.
Every day is a school day.
Every I notice your cuffs are well hidden. What notes have you written today?
I have short sleeves on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So thanks so much once again for doing this. And I hope to see you in our next investigative. Did I say that right? Investigative.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God. Can you say that for me?
Investigative.
Thank you. Episode. But yeah, thanks so much. And I'll see you next time. Cheers.
Thanks. See you again. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Love to Learn English podcast. Do remember to follow me on Instagram at Love to Learn English. And you can also head to my website, lovetolearnenglish.com, where you can find free transcripts for the first episodes of the Love to Learn English podcast.